Welcome to 5 Week In. It's a weekly discussion about politics, sports, and pop culture. Amongst four friends, I'm producer Lisa. I'm here with Nick.
Yo, yo.
Brandy.
Hey.
And Rocky. Well, that sounds like our beer of the week. What's our beer of the week, Rocky?
Well, you know I try to be timely with my beer selections in the news. And so this one's a little complicated, but, you know, if there's one thing you know about me, it's that I'm a marine life enthusiast and avid fisherman.
Everybody knows that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And you know what's going on with, like, the op-ed this week, the anonymous op-ed?
What's that, or anonymous?
Anonymous.
Someone can.
Yeah, so I chose this beer called Watermelon Dorado. And if you know anything about fish, Dorado like to be anonymous before they go and catch their prey. They hide behind, like, a reef and blend in, and then they go after the little fish.
Do you even know what a Dorado is?
I do not. I made all that up.
It's a dolphin. Mahi Mahi is a Dorado.
Well, you ruined the story. But well,
might be why that's on the bottle.
No. Really what it is, it's a delicious beer and 10%. So I'm coming in hot this morning at 8:45.
Very much so.
Yeah. But we've got a lot to talk to. I'm speaking like Trump right now.
Anonymous? I don't think anybody can.
I haven't even started drinking it, by the way. So we'll see what happens after that.
A little shampoo effect from last night, though.
Well, thanks for bringing the beer of the week in. How about the tweet of the week?
Yeah, this was a tough one because there's so much shit going on all the time. There's shit going on. And I've bagged on this guy before. I know we have. And what... I'm actually, it's a whole series of tweets, and I think it's kind of speaks to the time right now. And there's two people in particular that I would call out. One is Rick Wilson, who is a Republican strategist, and he is just laying the wood to Trump right now and Trump supporters. And it is awesome to read his Twitter. It would be 2 hours that I could read his Twitter line, their Twitter feed. And the other is former Congressman Joe Walsh, who he's found his balls a little bit now.
And his balls did drop.
Now he's still a colossal piece of shit, but he is a principled piece of shit, I guess, and he's taking no prisoners with Trump right now, and a lot of it has to do with the Russia thing, which is fine, but I've gained just a tiny scotch of respect for him and standing by that and saying that Trump is this is a very bad time for the country right now, and if he doesn't get removed, we're fucked. So I'm not going to point out one single tweet. It's going to be Rick Wilson and Joe Walsh, who I think they found their sack a little bit, and it's kind of refreshing to see him. And it's Congressman Joe Walsh, remember, not Joe Walsh of the Eagles.
I was going to say he's a very good guitarist as well.
He's not bad.
I am part of the resistance inside of the Trump administration. I work for the president, but like-minded colleagues and I have vowed to thwart parts of his agenda and his worst inclinations.
That dropped.
So the New York Times, within the essay, it's took the rare step of publishing an anonymous op-ed essay at the request of the author, who is a senior official in the Trump administration whose identity is known to them and whose job would be jeopardized, go figure, by its disclosure.
Kelly's already talking about putting lie detector tests in there. In the White House and having them tested.
Are we in like 1950?
No,
like,
it's legit. Yeah, right.
We're about to be.
He's identified the 12 that they've identified a short list of 12 people, and they want him to take a polygraph.
We're gonna find out who it is at some point. Everybody knows that it's gonna happen.
It's an opportunistic bastard that wrote it.
You and I agree completely. I think I know a lot of people are looking at this as like, oh, you know, this is just the mole within is telling all the truth of it. I think it's somebody who's got political aspirations that is still, you know, suckling the teat of Trump.
Teat.
And he or she is saving their ass at this point because they know something and he's going to get impeached and they're going to be able to say, see, told you so. I wrote this article talking about it, and they're going to, it's somebody with aspirations and they're doing it in a completely self-serving manner.
Which points, in that theory, it points towards Pence or the ambassador to Russia. What's his name, like Cortland or something?
I think it's somebody in national security or the Department of Justice, but that's just, I mean, this is all hypothetical, but that's what I think, just because he's just gone after them so hard. So here, I agree, Nick, 100%, and it makes me angry because what they're saying is they're willing to do this and risk our democracy, so they, in essence, get what they want.
Correct.
At any moment, Trump could do something that is, I mean, he's done so many things, but just think if we had like a national disaster or a terrorist attack or something.
Just
like,
think how many we may have averted because of this person.
I'm not. How, no.
Can I play devil's advocate?
No.
How much more?
No. No. Moving on.
How much more shit would have went down, but for the resistance?
I don't believe that they've stopped that much.
I agree with Brandy on this one. I think this is a total cover your ass, get out in front of it.
They want to go, be able to go out in a couple months and
get served at restaurants.
Be like, served at restaurants.
Be able to date online.
No, it is important, man.
I think Pence is not a smart man at all. So I don't think, and it's a very poorly written essay to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, grammatically, it's terrible. All that shit is terrible.
So you kind of disagree. It was easy to read. It was simple.
It was simple.
But it was filled with grammatical errors.
It was?
It was terrible. Yeah. But I think it's somebody who... So this is why I don't think it's just some low-level person. This is somebody that wants to stay in government work and has aspirations of higher office or running. I don't think Kellyanne Conway is that. I think she just likes being a face out there, making a lot of money, being a, you know...
She sold her soul.
Right.
She's not coming back.
Yeah, exactly. But somebody like Pence, who clearly has aspirations of higher... being the president at some point, that's what it reeks of to me, is to come out and say, oh, you know what? I told you so. We tried to do it, and I was brave enough to write this essay, and...
Brave enough to not put his name on it, or her
So, here's my problem with thinking it's Pence. I think a lot of things that have gone on, Pence is lockstep with what's happening. So, he's not... I don't think that's a point of him resisting anything. If he wants to talk amoral, or the problem, my favorite sentence in this essay was... the root of the problem is the president's amorality. Did I pronounce that right?
Immorality?
Amorality?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
immorality?
It's cumorality.
And that sounds like something that Pence would say, because it would go back to the fact that
his smugness,
Mr. 45, grab him in the pussy, on wife number, paying off strippers, yada yada yada.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyone who works with him knows he's not more to any discernible first principles that guide his decision making. Now that sounds like a Pence-ism.
Sounds like Bible.
And that's exactly what I was thinking, is this is somebody who thinks they're holier than thou, and I'm going to use these phrases, and you know, even though he's got to know he's serving them.
Why would he do that, though? Why would Pence write this? I don't think it's Pence.
Okay. I think it's somebody in the Department of Justice.
Okay, why do you think it's Pence?
I don't necessarily think it's Pence. My point is honestly, I don't give a fuck who it is. My point is that it's somebody who clearly wants to stay in some type of government role and has aspirations of being in a higher office at some point in time. It's not somebody doing just good by the country, and this is somebody that wants to have this, and
Listen, the days of people doing good by the country left when that guy with the funny name left office. Everybody that's in power right now is pretty much a freaking grifter and is go for what you know.
Ulysses S. Grant? Funny it's, name when you think about it.
I do, but I think it's kind of hot. Wouldn't you? I would like the name if I had like a kid, Ulysses. If you rolled up on a fucking Ulysses, you know that's a serious motherfucker, right?
Oh yeah.
There. Yeah, yeah, ain't no that's playing what, Ulysses. Yeah. None whatsoever.
I'm with you.
So
did you hear about the Bob Woodward book as well? About Gary Cohn is supposedly took documents off of his desk so that he would lose interest in that.
The documents themselves are published in the book. They're photographed and, actually
trade docs and everything.
Do they not have security in the Oval Office anymore?
I don't.
Hey, you don't mind if I go in there while the president's not in there?
But I mean, Gary Cohn, I have a huge issue with. Like, but yeah.
So, Brandy, who do you think it is?
I don't know. I don't fucking care. I will be the first person to be like, that person should go, but when it comes out, that person should go back to the hole that they should live in.
Do you believe it's a national security risk that they did this?
No.
I think that everything's at such a risk right now that nothing is going to, really going to impact it. I think it's somebody who is kind of high up, because I don't think the New York Times would publish it if it wasn't.
Agreed.
And I think it's somebody, National Security and Department of Justice. But I will, I've said this before. I think everyone who has worked with him, whether they've spoken out or they like to feed the press with, we were disappointed. Charlottesville was a really good example of how they tried to back off and like distance themselves, but they still work for him. They're getting what they want. They want the tax cuts. They want all that shit for them. And then they're willing to risk our democracy. I think they all should never see the light of day again.
Mic drop.
Well, may I submit a different theory?
Yes,
because
please.
I actually, now obviously nobody knows for sure, but if I'm placing odds on it, I think that the least odds are with someone that has a direct impact on national security issues. I know that they cited some of that stuff in the essay, but if you can bring yourself to believe that there's, 3, 4, 5, 6 people that sort of have met late at night and been like, guys, we got to stay in here and we have to prevent them from frickin' starting a war. And I would guess that maybe that core group is aware of the person that was going to do this and that it was a very purposeful thing. And they wouldn't have let, in selecting the person that is going to come out and create this public sort of push, they would not have selected someone that is in a position such as defense, national security advisor, because those are if there's one set of people that need to stay in that are in this sort of group, it's them. They would have, it would have been a less important role. And they would have cited the things that are in the essay. They cited that stuff on purpose to sort of stay anonymous and push people the wrong way.
I actually think it's more, the more important thing
is. They didn't think about it. That's a lot of thought.
Yeah, Jesus, man. Would you say these
are smart people.
They're just spitballing on this show.
Yeah, they're coordinating to try to, to me, they must have an end game, right? They must have. They're coordinating to try to make something happen. The obvious thing would be hopefully Pence can rise or something. But I don't really see them doing that so much.
All right, Alex Jones, let's move on to the next one, the next conspiracy theory over there.
No, it's not. There's a group of people.
They did.
Yeah,
and if you can bring yourself to believe that, then why wouldn't that group of people be aware that this person was doing this?
Yeah. What I think is far more important than this op-ed that was written is the book that Woodward is coming out with, because he is notorious for being super meticulous with everything.
He has
hundreds of hours of tapes and stuff. Yeah, it's all he's not a tabloid rag reporter.
No,
this is a guy who sources everything. It's meticulously done. he's not just going to put a random quote in there, here, or there. This is, I think that's the more important thing.
And if you look, he tapes his conversation.
Hold up. Before we leave the op-ed, can we just acknowledge the fact that we have someone in office that cannot say anonymous?
Anonymous?
No, I mean,
he was stroking out.
Anonymous?
We should be so lucky. But the Woodward book is, I think it's very interesting, but what is going to be the impact? There's no impact.
No, I'm just saying that, and there's probably not going to be an impact of the whole op-ed piece either. My point is that this is
happening.
Yeah, this, well, I mean, shit, like the, who was, apparently he wanted to assassinate the Venezuelan dictator, like... You can't just do it. You're going to
thank God for the resistance. They probably stopped that,
you're
right?
You're going to start a fucking world war if you do that.
Sure, they do.
You can't just go doing that.
No, he.
To my point, don't you think people that part of the resistance is stopping things like that from happening?
No. Mm-mm.
Yes.
They are stopping. They are stopping stuff.
Yeah, I do think that there has been some really ridiculous thoughts that have come when he's on the toilet at 2:30 a.m. Thinking he's like,
why don't we just kill him?
Why don't we just kill him? Can't we just kill him? And you know, they huddle up and go, how should we come at this foolishness?
So I'm going to give some of the Republicans a little bit of a benefit of the doubt. So they're all assholes. They care about their main thing. They want their tax cuts for the rich. They want to. A lot of them want to. You know, the
religion. Gun health care.
Restrict abortion rights.
Yes.
But I truly don't believe a lot of them want to go out and like destroy the democracy. Like,
but they're doing it and risking,
they are. They're willing to trade their soul to get their tax cuts and get their health care and all that.
Sure.
Yeah. Which they've wanted to do for 40 years.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
But it shows it's a problem with politics in general, but they're self-serving and they're not serving to what they're supposed to do and their constituents. So
anonymous
constituents?
Constituents. Right?
Constituents.
I think there was a tit in the middle of that one somewhere.
There was a tit in there.
Anyway. What about I do feel like a conspiracy theorist here, but what about timing? So there's two timings that keep popping in my mind. Three issues with timing. Number one is the whole like Woodward Washington Post, right, is gaining all the traction, and then the next day New York Times comes out with this. Why did it have to happen? Is that pure capitalism competition between
media outlets? Sure. I think
there's all of the above.
Right.
Yeah.
That's issue one. Issue two is especially assuming this actually was written by a Republican high level in the office, is there any possible connection to trying to shiny object this week while Kavanaugh's about to get confirmed?
Good point.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
That,
because I think we can all acknowledge that there's nothing we can do about Kavanaugh.
No, and I don't think that's conspiracy theories. I think that's just how the world works. Like,
I think they can probably get him for perjury after the fact. There's a lot of stuff coming out with the documents. This is a whole nother pod, so we probably shouldn't get into it. I don't think we'll finish today, but I think we should talk about Cory Booker and Leahy and Harris
and my woman crush Lizzie.
They are standing up. Like, this is a travesty. What's happening with that hearing?
And it's a travesty and a mockery.
100,000 documents.
Travis Sham mockery.
It's insane how much they're gaming that system. They know that he's got a paper trail. They know.
We've all sort of agreed over the course of this pod that the Republicans have been stronger strategically at the long game.
Yes.
100%. And that's why I wonder sometimes, like, where these two things that seemingly don't have to do with each other might actually have to do with each other. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is if you're doing this and you're a staunch Republican,
you've got the midterms right
in front of you. There's got to be like something that they're trying to do that ends in their favor, because logically this doesn't seem like it really.
I think what's in their favor is not having Donald Trump as president.
So you make staunch Republican make it sound like Trump is not a Republican.
He is a Republican.
The Republican Party
has embraced
him. Is Trump. Trump is the Republican Party. So
they need a deep cleanse.
So if you're saying that part of this resistance that's within his administration are dyed-in-the-wool old-timey Republicans, not Trumpists, and they want to return to that party, I get it. But by and large, the majority of the Republicans / Trumpists are lockstep with that guy.
Yeah.
You know, because they like winning. They haven't won in 8 years. You know, it's been a while.
And then the ones that aren't as vocal, they're part of it still. Because they're not doing anything to stop him.
But if they are part of it, then timing-wise, shouldn't this op-ed have been done right after the November elections, so you give yourself the best chance of keeping a Republican
in Georgia? I don't know.
Right? We're 2 months from now.
All of us. Yeah. We all have to do our part to we just got to take over.
Yeah,
Congress.
You guys, we got to.
Okay, we need to move.
Listeners,
it's the first day of football. Ooh.
B is very serious. It is the first day of football. I thought we'd talk maybe just give me 5 minutes with the football, maybe not 5, 10. This is a very personal subject to me because I drafted him in my fantasy draft. Le'Veon Bell has not showed up.
You drafted Colin Kaepernick? Good
job. He ain't played in a while.
I'll tell you what, the Bills should sign him fast. We talked about that for years.
Boom. So Le'Veon Bell has not signed up or showed up at the Steelers to sign his franchise tag. Man just lost $855,000 yesterday for not showing up. What is his end game? Somebody. Ooh.
Long-term contract, guaranteed money. You never know when your leg's going to break in the NFL, and he knows he's worth
life in general.
$15 million a year right now.
Right. I mean, we could all walk out of here and crack a tibia. We don't know. So if he signs the franchise tag, if he breaks his leg, is he not covered? Does he still not get that $14 million?
So, how much guaranteed money did the last running back get? I mean,
David Johnson just signed a pretty big deal.
He got
3 years, 39. I don't know how much was guaranteed.
$30 million was guaranteed.
I thought $30 million was
Le'Veon's
guaranteed.
So Le'Veon's going to get at least 40, I would imagine. $40 million's a lot more than 1 year.
Whatever Todd Gurley got, he certainly should. should get, but I why just not show up and do it now? Why not? He did it the year before, and now his teammates are in that man's pockets, talking sideways about him, which is really
weird. I'm kind of torn on that, the teammate talking about him thing. I at first I'm like, well, man, they've got a point. Like, they're in the trenches, they're doing all this shit.
Stay out of the man's money pockets.
But that's the side of it that I was reading a lot of shit from former players. And they're all saying, like, you don't butt in on contract negotiations. One, because that's his money, and who the fuck knows, that's his livelihood, he gets to do that. Mm-hmm. Two, because it actually helps everybody out on the team, because they're all part of the Players Association.
The Steelers player rep, Ramon Foster, came out and was running his mouth.
I know. I don't. So that side I actually agree with more is, yes, you want to see your star player there. You guys are a team, blah, 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 blah. But it really does, it affects everybody in the league, not just on the team, everybody in the league.
This is why the NFL Players Association will never hold out for a very long time, because there's always going to be somebody who's like, man, I need to pay my child support. Let's get in the camp.
A la Travis Henry. great Travis Henry.
A little bit.
Yeah. Latrell Sprewell. Yeah. Remember that?
Gotta feed my family.
The facts. Todd Gurley got 4 years, $60 million, $45 million guaranteed, including a $20 million signing bonus. So franchise, let's just like round it off. Like, franchise tag is 1 year, $15 million. Le'Veon Bell is 26 years old. So insert similar contract. He's going to be 30. And, you know, like everyone says, running backs, like, that's when
it's
you become.
It's a steep decline very quickly.
But the point is, he has an outside shot at getting one more contract even after that, if he draws the line right now, signs his first long-term, and then comes out of it in 3 or 4 years.
You guys think he's showing up? You think he's not showing up till week 10 quickly? Week 10 is all he needs.
No,
is,
I think it'll be in the next couple weeks.
You? B?
I'm going to go week 10.
Steelers have to pay him. Like, it's like they're dumb not to.
You think he shows up before week 10 or on?
Yeah, far before. Yeah.
Okay. All yeah. right. I've got a pair of Nikes on. Rocky's got a pair of Adidas on. Nick is wearing flip flops, and Brandy's got
flippy flops.
Her Jaguar shoes on. I'm bringing that up because the Nike commercial dropped the other night with Colin Kaepernick, and I haven't burnt any of my Nikes. Have you guys?
No.
You?
I don't even like Nikes, but I'll buy them more now.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, Karen went to the store yesterday and bought Nike gear. She was walking by Nordstrom. Yeah. And said, I'm going to pick up some Nike gear for both of us just to support Cap.
Quickly, do you think the people that burn the Nikes are more than the people who bought Nikes?
No, online sales of Nikes jumped 31% the day after the commercial came out.
And it's, yeah.
That's
it's a no-brainer. They're just getting a lot more publicity
because they're on Twitter and they're
it's fun to see people burn their shoes. I saw some dad with some dad pants on with a white Nikes, like the dad shoes
Nikes
with tape over it that said Reebok, which I don't know. Really. Yeah.
You know what happens when you burn your shoes? You have to buy more shoes.
Yeah, you pay for more shoes. Yeah. You have no shoes. That's it. You walk around barefoot or buy
more
shoes.
What about the sock picture you showed me?
It's so stupid. This world is full of such fucking morons. But the other thing you got to think about is, people are saying, oh, this is going to kill Nike, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, not
Nike. First and foremost,
they have been paying him for a while, so they do. Have been,
and first and foremost, they're a for-profit business.
Sure.
They, as good as this whole campaign is for the movement and all that stuff, this is a very calculated risk by them. They're not going to say, this may blow up in our face. They know that this is going to be
they calculate the risks and before they did this.
Correct. They're a public company. They're, they have shareholders. They have to do what's best for their shareholders. So as good as it is on Nike to do all this, keep in mind they're doing it because they believe it will be beneficial to them.
They're legends in marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to Air Jordan and all that sort of stuff.
So the amount that the sales increased was 31%.
Yeah.
31%, despite the fake outrage.
Yeah, they're not idiots. They know what they're doing, and they took this campaign and said, we're going to make X amount of dollars more because of this, and it will be beneficial for them in the long run.
That leads me to a hypocrite of the week. I would say all these mother fathers that are burning their Nike gear, but
I have one.
Okay,
sorry. I mean, I could say I could say
you have one segment, Brandy.
All right, can we bring this back to football? Today is the first day. Today for me is the first day of football. That game Thursday night was terrible.
Oh no! It was painful to watch.
Somebody appears to be telling.
Hold on, can I get good call credit? I benched Devontae Freeman in week one.
Okay.
That's pretty good, right? Second round pick?
Yeah, I would say it's very, very good. Today we're going to all be watching our teams for the first time today. I want you, really quickly, what's a team that's going to be good this year that you didn't think it was going to be good? And what's a team that's going to be bad this year that you didn't think it was
going to
be bad?
Bills are going to be terrible. I'm going again with the Rams. I went with them last year, and I think they're going to be in the Super Bowl. Now, this is going to be a take that I have that is not going to be popular around this table.
The team that is
going to take a big step back, in my personal opinion, is the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is you can't score a defensive touchdown ever. I'm just playing law of average.
I know we'll be scoring a touchdown against the Bills.
It's not a little personal to you because Jalen Ramsey called your quarterback trash?
No, I'm looking at it from a perspective of their defense scored a touchdown every game. It's just not that's not possible.
I'll have to look at the statistics, but
I think Bortles is garbage. Now, the personal.
So we have garbage and trash.
Yeah, the personal part I take on Jalen Ramsey is when he said that he could make it in the NHL in 6 months. And all these NHL players came out and they're like, dude.
Not today.
Yeah, not going to happen.
All right,
just my thought. Brandy. I would say it if you weren't a Jaguars fan. Go. That's just my thought.
No, you probably would.
So I actually find this to be a pretty easy answer. This is the year the Seahawks come unraveling. So a team that is formerly good that will not be good.
Mm-hmm. It's a good call.
That's a good one.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, you know, mentally, they're sort of all against each
Legion
other.
Legion of Boom
you know,
is no more, all that.
And it seems like it's been kind of a slow burn getting to that level. Yeah.
O-line's dead. Yeah. So.
Who's going to be good that people didn't think they were going to be good?
Everyone thinks the Bengals are sort of done. I think
they're
going to
be surprised.
Their best year. This is like the Steelers are sort of in trouble right now. Mm-hmm. And
I actually think that's a good call, too.
I think they could win 10, 11 games and finally win a playoff game.
Brandy.
I think the Patriots are going to be not as good as the people think they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing personal. It's just age. And I think the team that's going to be good, which unfortunately isn't, I think people are talking about, is I think the Vikings are going to
Vikings are my Super Bowl pick.
Vikings are going to be good. And I think Chicago Bears, and this isn't because you're here, I think the Chicago Bears are going to be better than what people are giving them to.
So you stole my thunder. I actually absolutely think Seattle's not going to be as good as people think they're going to be. You can't have that much change and lose the core, the culture of your team and expect there not to be any repercussions. And actually, I think the Cleveland Browns are going to be better than people think. Mm-hmm. They had no expectations. They won no games last year. And I think they're going to be a fun offense to watch. I think Todd Haley's going to make a huge difference. And I think that they're going to be better than people think they're going to be.
I think everybody said all good reasons for your picks on that one.
Totally. Absolutely. Agree.
Now, one last thing. I just thought this was hilarious. On Hard Knocks, the Browns, which I do think they're going to be better, but Hugh Jackson, I think it was in week one, he's sitting around with his coordinators, and somebody said, oh, you know, we should do something this way. And he goes, you know, sir, I used to think that way too, but when I got into the head coaching position, things changed. Now, you, my friend, you are 1-31 as a head coach right now. Let's maybe take
you're not
a little,
counting his time as. Remember, he was the Raiders head coach.
Talking with the Browns right now. He's 1-31. Maybe it's time to listen to some outside counsel just a little bit.
I don't
want
coming from an organization that's been just historically good from the Steelers, right?
Yeah, let's just listen. You don't have to. Don't take the advice if you don't want it. Yeah. Just internalize it for a second here.
I don't really like him. He like talked too much. He was trying to get the shine from the cameras. I didn't like him this year.
31.
Yeah, I remember that.
I will say
it was kind of a shitty way too. He was like kind of indignant.
He was.
Yeah,
it was a better Hard Knocks than I thought it was going to be when it first said it's going to be the Cleveland Browns. So with that brings us to the end of another episode of Pod We Can. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram. We are on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. And as we have come to do at the end of every episode of Pod We Can.
Well, I just wanted to do one quick shout out, Dr. Ed Ha.
Our newest fan,
Dr. Ed Ha, fan of the week.
That's great. And I wanted to actually dedicate this episode to my grandmother who passed away on Friday.
Oh.
Dorothy A. Brown. God, strong black woman.
Dorothy will be missed.
So let's raise our glasses and say, Pod We Can. Merry football, everybody.
Merry football.